Savior's
mercy and grace.
My course was set the night I got saved, and I'll not turn back, there's too much at stake. Things may look hopeless, but we're gonna win.
So I'm staying in.
I'm staying in.
I'm staying in.
Yes, I'm staying in.
I'll finish this race.
I'll finish this race, not by my own strength, but by my Savior's
mercy and grace. My course was set the night I got saved,
and I'll not turn back, there's too much at stake. Things may look hopeless, but we're gonna win.
So I'm staying in.
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 Atonement Day, a shepherd cries, another spotless lamb has died. Oh, how could just one sacrifice our God Jehovah satisfy? Year after year the blood would flow, but none could wash me white as snow. Salvation's day fulfilled the plan. The promise came, one holy lamb. One holy lamb washed my sin away. One sacrifice paid the price I could not pay. One holy lamb, one great I am, one seed of Abraham. One holy lamb, wash my sin away.
Atonement Day, the Father cries, the spotless Son of God must die. One final death for every man. One blood, one life, one holy lamb.
One holy lamb washed my sin away. One sacrifice paid the price I could not pay. One holy lamb, one great I am, one seed of Abraham. One holy lamb, wash my sin away. One sacrifice paid the price I could not pay. One holy lamb, one great I am, one seed of Abraham. He sought me and bought me with his
Thank you. morning. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get going. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for how you love us, Lord. Thank you for family and friends and a church that we can come and worship you openly. Lord, we ask that you will continue to bless us this day on your day. And Lord, I ask that you will be with the Sunday school teachers and be with Pastor as he brings the message. Thank you for allowing us to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 169. Come Thou Fount. Turn over to, lost my page, 439. Count your many blessings.
Sings, name them one by one. Count
count your many blessings in my new heart. So among the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings. Count your many blessings, see what God had done. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for your singing. Glad everybody could be here. I was working on my timing and it was a little off. All right. Glad everybody could be here today. On January the 13th through the 15th, we have the National Church Planting Conference at HBBC. Wednesday the 14th, Bible Preaching and Prayer and Patch Club at 7. Saturday, January 17th, Bus Visitation, Churchwide Operation Saturation and Soul Winning. The 18th, Sanctity of Life Sunday. And then the 12th, 13th, and 13th and 14th is the Living United Couples Retreat in Branson, Missouri. Then Friday, the February 20th, the Youth Rally at Temple. And then February 22nd through the 26th, we have Brother Corn coming, so that'll be a blessing. And then the church's 70th anniversary will be on the 15th of March. So, 15th through the 18th is we have in meetings, but that's for the anniversary. If you don't have a bulletin, they're in the back. If you can't understand my reading, you can read it for yourself with the ones in the back. All right.
Good morning. How are you doing?
All right. Good. Good morning. Welcome to the Adult Sunday School class here at Bethel Baptist Church. And I hope you all had a good week and that there's blessings that you know, God lays up blessings for us every day. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, he tells us that he lays up those blessings for us. And I like to, every day when I get up, to ask the Lord, show me the blessings today, Lord. And because they're there, we just need to look sometimes for them. I'm thankful for all that God does for us each and every day. Keeps us going. When sometimes I don't feel like going, he helps me to go, okay? And he helps you also. I do have some of the Trail of Blood. I got four copies here left of it. If you did not get one, make sure you get one. The Trail of Blood is talking about the Baptists and the persecution that we've gone through. And in the back of this book, it's got a timeline from clear back to with the starting of the Lord back here, Lord Jesus Christ, all the way through the time, there's a timeline in here and shows you all the persecution and why they were persecuted. And if you want to know what a Baptist church is, on page 70 of this book, there's the fundamental doctrines of a Baptist church. So there might be a time that God leads you somewhere and you want to know what our church believes is right here. These are the things that we believe. And it's a spiritual church founded upon the Word of God. The Bible is our main text. A lot of times I have a lot of books in my library and different things like that, but none of them equal this book. This is the Bible. It's God's Word. And so we put everything that we believe and is upon God's Word, what He says and tells us. Now, in the Adult Sunday School class here, we are studying through the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Luke was a Greek doctor, actually, is a physician, and I believe that he was probably saved in Antioch under the ministry of either Paul or it could possibly be maybe Apollos. I'm not sure, but that under their ministry. But we find out in the book of Luke, Luke says in the first chapter, in verse 3, he says he's writing to his friend here, Theophilus, and he tells him in verse 3, it seems good to me also, having a perfect understanding of all the things from the very first, to write unto you, Theophilus. And so he has an understanding. And the reason he has this understanding is because he understands God's Holy Spirit that worked in his life. A lot of these things he didn't see, but as a doctor, I believe that he was able to understand these things and put things together. And we find out in the first chapter, in the book of Luke, it is the most wordy of all the Gospels. In other words, it's not the longest Gospel, but he's got a lot of words. And I believe it's because he's a physician and he is a man of detail and different things like that. And he starts out in chapter 1 talking about the baptism, or the not the baptism, the birth of John the Baptist. And we find out there his parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and everything that happens. We're not going to go through all this and review everything because we're in the third chapter today. We're in the third chapter. We're going to be talking about John. John, we're going to look today at his message, his purpose, and let's see, there's a third thing here somewhere, and his testimony that he gives, and the predictions that he made, and the being human. There's a time in John's life when he had to be reassured of the things he, and we're going to look at that a little bit today. But some of these things we're going to find not only here in the Gospel of Luke, but also in the other Gospels. Because the amazing thing is that the John the Baptist is mentioned in all four books of the Gospel. All four books of the Gospel. He is a very important role, even in the book of Acts. So he's mentioned. His importance. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. But before we get into the scriptures, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, we're thankful that we do serve a great God. Lord, I'm so amazed how you answer our prayers. Father, you know my heart, and you know what the need is there. And Father, I pray and thank you because you've already blessed me this morning. Father, I pray that you would just give us guidance and direction in the things we do. Lord, I just ask that just as John, Lord, was moved by you, and Lord, that you move us. Lord, I ask that you just be with each and every one of us this morning as we look into the Word of God, that we would open our hearts. Lord, we have to be willing to learn. So, Lord, I ask that you open our hearts, that we'd receive your word. And, Lord, not only just hear it with our ears, but allow it to go into our hearts and our lives, to be able to change our lives so that, Lord, we can glorify you in all the things we do. I do pray, Lord, that you be with us in a mighty way. If there's a person here this morning that has a need in their life to know you as their personal Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would find that today. Here in church, and Lord, the preaching of the word and teaching here in Sunday school, Lord, realize that you're on the throne. It's not us. It's you, Lord. It's all you. Father, I pray that you just give us guidance and direction now this morning. And I just pray that you be with us this time in Sunday school, that you would just give us the words to say and keep my mind, Lord, alert. We ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Some of the things, the problems I have sometimes is my mind just goes somewhere else. So just hang with me and we'll get through. But anyway, God is good. I'll tell you, when I look into the life here of John, and we're going to be looking into his life here a little bit more today, although we tried to get started last week, his ministry is found in all four Gospels, as I said, in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. You want to write that down and look at that a little bit later. We're going to be going back to some of this in a little bit. In Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, and in Luke chapter 1 and verse 8, he talks that that's where, after his birth, and what his father Zacharias says about him in chapter 1, verse 80. But he also is mentioned here in John's gospel, chapter 1 through, or verses 1 through 18. And then in the Gospel of John, he is mentioned in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 6 through 28. So John is in all four Gospels. I believe that's because he's an important guy. I find in John's Gospel, makes it very clear here. I like John. I like the Gospel of John. I'll probably say that every time because it's one of my favorite Gospels. But it starts out making everything real clear, because he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So just there in a few verses, he's telling about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the light of the world. And then in verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So he's talking about that light. And he says, we find out here in verse 6, he says, there's a man sent from God whose name was John. You have to realize he was sent from God. He had a purpose. His life had a purpose in us. I believe that as God creates each and every one of us, he has a purpose for your life. He has a reason why he has put us on this earth. He knows all things. He knows everything. There's nothing that God doesn't know. Like Brad and I were talking about predestination, you know, and predestination. God knows everything. Right. The thing is on predestination is we don't. We don't know what lays ahead for us, but God does. You know what that does for us? We can go through our days and know we're going to be led by God if we allow him to. Right. God knows what's going to happen today. God knows what's going to happen in our lives. So John was a man sent from God. Now, he didn't know everything that was going to happen in his life. I mean, and it goes on to say in verse 7 here, the same came for a witness. That's what his purpose was. He was the witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Believe not in John, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in what he has to say. And he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. John wasn't the light, and he says it, and that's one of the things that John says in his message. I'm not the light. He's saying, we look at his message here in a little bit, as he talks to the crowds, and he talks to talks to the Pharisees and the publicans. Even soldiers came up, the Roman soldiers wanted to know about what they needed to do. And then he had an address to the world and what he's supposed to do, what we're supposed to do. And so he came as a light. And he said, and in verse 8 says, he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him. That's what we just read in the first part of John there. He made the world. He made everything that's in the world. And he said the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So that's the problem with looking at things in the world, having a worldview. Matter of fact, just this week, matter of fact, yesterday, the day before, I picked my Sword of the Lord came in, and I picked it up, and Dr. Sheldon Smith had an editorial in there. At such a time like this was the name of the editorial. Of course, that's taken from Esther, as Mordecai tells Esther, maybe you were put here for such a time as this. And so that's where it came from. But anyway, as he was talking about that, today, we God has put us here for a reason and a purpose. And a lot of times today, people, at least in the world, they try to look at the news situation, look at the political realms, and also try to base our ideas or our thoughts on these type of things. And but we need to realize that we need to base what we do upon the Word of God, upon God's Word. The political realm, they want to take polls, find out what everybody, how the wind is blowing, so to speak. So this is the thing we're going to be talking about. President Trump getting ready for his campaign and everything, he wanted to know what people thought, so they'd take a poll. Well, people are aggravated about the people that have come into the United States. So he took the poll and he says, "This is what everybody wants. So we're going to try to move these people back out." And I don't have no problem with that at all. I think when people come into our country, they need to come in legally. Legally. That's what it's all about. To me, it's a legal matter. And so, but anyway, they take a poll, in other words, to get that. But we don't need to take a poll. We don't need to do that because we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God that's going to give us the direction in which we need to go. We look in the book of Proverbs, and he tells us many times in the book of Proverbs the things that we need to do. I like the way many of the Proverbs, at least the first five or six chapters, Solomon is writing to Rehoboam, his son, and he always says, "My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou mayest incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." That's what God wants us to do. He says, let's apply ourselves to things we know, the wisdom, and all wisdom comes from God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we have these things to rely upon. So here, John, all he has is the Word of God, what God has given him and told him that what he's going to do. It says in verse 11, he came into his own, talking about the Lord. Let's go to verse 12. And of course, that's one of my favorite verses there. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of man, nor the will of man, but of God." And it says, the Word was made flesh. That's the nativity all in one verse. It says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And it says, verse 15, "John bare witness of him, crying, this was he of whom I speak. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Now, John lived he had several, 30, 40 years. Almost, he was older than Jesus, or not a whole lot older, but he was in his 30s here when he starts really proclaiming the Word of God. All that time, even in the life of Christ, as we looked at it, in the early ages, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about that. But John had a purpose, and this purpose was to come and to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says there in verse 16, in his fullness have all we received grace for grace. For the law was given. Now he's telling he's going to, as I said before, I think last week, this is a change of a dispensation. Things are going to change. Things are going to change. We're going to go from the dispensation of the law now into the dispensation of grace. And so he says here in verse 16, and of this fulfillment of all, we receive grace for grace. Grace for grace. It says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And verse 18 says, no man has seen the Father at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, and he hath declared him. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? They wanted to know who he was. That was their responsibility, you know. We can look back in Deuteronomy and find out that the Levites and the priests were the people that were responsible for the religion. If anything new was coming in or somebody was trying to preach something different, back in Deuteronomy, it tells us, I wrote that down somewhere here, but anyway, it does tell the responsibilities of the priests and Levites, and that was to find out what was going on with the people. They were out there actually, I think, taking polls or whatever, trying to find out the pulse of the people, what was going on here at this time. They came and asked him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. He made it very plain. That was one of the things he did. He made it plain. He said, I'm not the Christ. Let's look at his message for just a minute. He had a message for the crowd. In Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I should have marked up my Bible with hangers there, but I didn't. Anyway, in Matthew chapter 3, he comes and he preaches. What does he preach? I believe it's what we preach today. Importance. He says, in verse 1, it's in those days, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now, he was preaching, and he said, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Things are changing. There's a change. But there's a word here that he uses. Repent. Repent. I don't mean to do this, but something's kind of bothering me. Brother Glore. There's a young couple sitting up in front of you. Yeah, they need to be separated. I'm sorry. It's not a sleeping time. If you want to be in my class, you have to listen. Okay? John here, he was preaching. And what was he preaching? Repent. Repent of your sins. Realizing we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? And the Bible tells us, the Lord, in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, he tells us he looked down upon the earth and he didn't find anybody that was seeking after God. And in different times in the scripture, it tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so he's asking here he's telling the people here the need of repentance. He says, "For this is he that spake by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." And we need to be prepared. You know, this is one thing John's teaching here, is a preparation for Christ. We need to prepare our lives every day for the Lord to live in us. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he wants to live within us. But sometimes we're not prepared for him to live in us. And the way we get prepared for the Holy Spirit to live in us and the Lord to live through us is to be right with him. The first things we need to do in the morning, after we praise the Lord for giving us the morning and say, this is the day of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. We need to say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to walk a right life today. Help me walk holy. Help me to walk in a way that will honor and glorify you today. And I believe that's what John's saying. He's crying in the wilderness, telling them that they need to prepare themselves for the Lord. They get something that's going to change. And he goes on to say, and the same John, and this gives him the description of the things he was wearing here. His raiment was camel hair and leather girdle over his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. This was not a man that had all the fine things of life. He was a man that was rough, rugged. He was an outdoorsman. He was out there, and he was surviving off of what God had gave him. But the Bible tells us that he went out let's look also in Luke's gospel, back to chapter 3, and he was preaching the word of God in chapter 3 and verses 3 through 6. It says, and he came unto all the country round about Jordan, and preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Again, he was trying to prepare that way. And that way of the Lord is a holy way. It's a holy path. Make his path straight. Straight. It's not a crooked path. You look in the book of Proverbs, and it talks about the crooked path, the plain path, and the right path. All these are mentioned in the book of Proverbs. You study in that, they would help you to see the path. So he's telling them they need to be in the right path. The voice of one crying in the world is, prepare you the way of the Lord. And verse 5 says, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and a hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough shall be made smooth. That's changing. And what he's talking about there, things need to change. And that's what the problem was in those days. They didn't see the problems. And then it says in verse 6, it said, all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. They're going to see something change. They're going to be changed. The Lord's going to come on the scene here, and things are going to change. And as we said, it's a changing of dispensation, the dispensation of grace. And then it says, and he said to the multitudes that came forth to be baptized. A lot of people had heard John, and they heard about this repentance, and they wanted to know about what was going on. So the crowds became large. They were large crowds that came out. And he come forth to his baptism, and he says the scribes and Pharisees, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? God's judgment is coming. Now, these people at this time knew that God had judged Israel. They knew their history. They knew all the things that the people had gone through, how they were taken in captivity and went to Babylon, and all these things, and they had returned. God allowed them to return, and all these things, and things were getting better. But at this time, the time was coming where things were going to change. So he said, it's not a good time. In chapter 3, when we began reading that, I told you about Tiberius Caesar and Pilate and these men that are mentioned in the first verse of chapter 1 or chapter 3, verse 1, were pretty terrible people. As I look back into history, Josephus and different things, they were wicked men. Matter of fact, Rome really didn't have any liking in them. There was none of them that did were good people. They were immoral and all kinds of things, and that's one of the things that's going to get John in trouble in his preaching. But not only that, in verse 2, it talks about Ananias and Caiaphas, the high priest. There was things going on there that were wrong. They were not following what God wanted to happen and different things. And so they were evil men at this time, and the people had realized this. So he calls them vipers. He tells them there in verse 8, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, and bring not to say within yourselves. And talking about the scribes and the Pharisees here, and he says, we have Abraham as our father. The people also thought that they had Abraham for their father. He said, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children after Abraham. So that what he was telling them, it's not your heritage. It's not where you came from that's going to save you. It's not going to make you do good or whatever. Here he's saying it's not being a part of Abraham's seed. You know, Jews did think they were special, and I believe that they God looked at them as a special people and a good and his heritage, but they weren't good people. And so John was trying to tell them that they were sinners. They were lost in their sins, and they needed to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. And he was going to point them to the Savior. In verse 21 of Luke's gospel, we have here the account of the baptism of Jesus. And it says, and now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, and heaven, this is what John's seen. He says, and the heavens opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in the body as shapen like a dove unto him. And a voice from heaven said, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So here I have at the baptism of John, the Trinity scene. The Trinity. We have the Holy Spirit that descends upon him in a form of a dove. And Jesus Christ is there being baptized. And he says, then he heard the voice from heaven saying, behold, he says, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He was pleased with what Jesus had did there. And there's a few things about that. So John did speak to the Pharisees. That's part of this verse of scripture here, but it's also found in Matthew's gospel, chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. He also talked to the publicans. We can see that in Luke's gospel. We just read that, Luke chapter 3, verse 13. He says, And in verse 13 says, and he said unto them, except no, he's talking back up just one verse, verse 12. He says, then came also the publicans to be baptized. And he said unto the and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And so they were looking, what do I need to do to be baptized? What do I need to change in my life? And he says to him, accept no more than that which is appointed to you. Now, the publicans were the ones that collected the taxes. You know, it wasn't Republicans, it was publicans. You know, when I, never mind. But they were collecting the taxes. But he tells them, just take what you're supposed to. Why? Because many of them, just like Zacchaeus, who was a wee little man that was up in the tree and came down, he was a tax collector, and he had he'd taken more money from people than they really needed to pay. They took the money that the government said they had to pay, and of course they got a wage out of that, just like we would today. They would take more money. He says, and John knew that. And he told them, he said, what you need to do is just extract more than what's you're appointed. Just to do your job right. Don't take any extra. You know, you don't have to force a tip on somebody or anything like that. Yeah, you just take what you're supposed to do. So he was pointing out the sin that they had. And they needed to turn away from that, not to do it. And then it says in verse 14, the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. So the soldiers, they had been doing some things that were wrong, and he was pointing out here their sin. He says they were not to do any violence. Don't go in there as a soldier and do more than you're supposed to do. Just do what your requirement is, and then he says, and neither accuse any falsely. You know, so during those days, there was a lot of unlawful things going on. They could accuse somebody of doing something and cause all kinds of havoc. It happens even today that can cause a lot of problems. But he's telling these soldiers not to do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And that's a lot of times people today are just not content with their wages. I know that I drove by the Machinist Union over there having their meeting yesterday, and the house was all full. There's cars all over the place. I don't know what the Machinist Union was going about. I'm sure that the Spirit thing with Boeing coming back in. There's a lot of things, a lot of questions that they have and everything, a lot of those things. But we need John is telling them they need to be content with their wages, content with their wages. You know, even the Lord, when he was given the parables out, he has a parable in there where he pays the first guy. He asked him what they want for their daily wage, and he gave them the wage and said, okay, go out in my field and do the work. And then hours later, some more he sent out to do, and then the more, and then at the last hour, there were still people standing around. He sent them out into his harvest to harvest it, and when they came in at the end of the evening, he paid them all the same. And of course, those people that had worked the longest said, "Hey, that's not right." And he said, "Yeah, it is right. It's my money to give." God, and anyway, it had to do with wages here, and so that's what he told the soldiers. So he had a message for them, and then it goes on and says, and as the people were exceptional, And all the men mused in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ. They were still thinking, is this the Christ? John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize with water, but one that is mightier than I cometh, of whose latches the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so he's telling them the Lord's coming. And he says, who fan is the hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor and gather the wheat into the garners, but the chaff will he burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things he exhorted and preaching he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil which Herodias had done, added yet this more above all, that he shut up John in prison. So it's talking, that's in Luke Gospel, talks about John being put into prison. You want to read more about that, and we need to look at that. So let's look in Mark's Gospel. A little bit different here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. In this Gospel, it gives us a kind of what happened, how John's getting beheaded here. Now, it says in verse 14, King Herod heard of him. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ now, the miracles that he's working. John has already been beheaded at this time. It brought to Herod's mind that John the Baptist had been risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works did show forth themselves in him. In other words, he was talking about Jesus doing this. He thought that maybe it was John being risen. Anyway, it says, verse 15, others said that it is Elias, and others say that it is the prophet, one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I have beheaded, and he is raised from the dead. For then now in verse 17 on through here, it talks about what happened. He says, for Herod himself had sent forth, laid hold on John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake. That was Philip's wife. Philip the Tetrarch, the first one in Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. Oh, we're running out of time already. Anyway, so we'll finish this next week. But through this quarrel and everything, her daughter dances for him and pleases the men there that day. So she went to Herodias and asked what she wanted, and she wanted the head of John. And so the story, that's how he lost his head. But anyway, we'll pick up next week there. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're thankful for this day. We ask, Lord, that you give us guidance and direction and service to come. I pray, Lord, you be with the pastor. I pray that you hide him behind your cross, Lord, that your words would be lifted up, that, Lord, you would be glorified in all the things we do. I ask, Lord, if there be any here today that don't know you as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that today they would accept you and find out, Lord, exactly what you require of us. And Father, I just ask that you'd have your will and way in our lives today, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit might work among us. We ask it all in thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. All right, if anybody needs one of these Trail of Bloods, I still have four of them left. So just see me.